Think of it as a collision between reality and recidivism that's before the Supreme Court today. The state of California's prison system is overcrowded. It's holding more than double the capacity it was designed for. And the state has been ordered to release about 46,000 prisoners to ease the overcrowding, which reportedly is a contributing factor in the death every 8 days from inadequate medical care of one inmate. Is this a case of the requirements of justice versus tough-on-crime politics in California creating an untenable situation in the state's prisons? Or is this just a matter of states' rights being challenged by the power of the federal government? Joining us now is Frank Zimring, a professor of law at UC Berkeley and co-author, along with Gordon J. Hawkins, of The Scale of Imprisonment. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
And also with us is Michael Bean, who's managing partner for Rosen, Bean, and Galvin, and is a lead attorney for the prisoners and will be in the Supreme Court later today. Right, Michael?
Yes.
All right, Frank, let's begin with you. What is the doctrine here? It seems that political campaigning on being tough on crime in the midst of a fiscal crisis has led California into a situation where they just don't have the facilities to be as tough on crime as they want, and the federal government has stepped in. How do you see it?
Well, there are two problems. Overcrowding is a long and chronic process in California. Really, the hangover of growth mostly that took place in the 80s and was exacerbated in the 1990s. But the second problem, and the one that precipitated both the litigation and the population reduction, was a real insufficiency of medical care facilities. And there, the federal courts have a much stronger tradition of intervention because, of course, what you've got is people locked up in total institutions who are totally dependent upon state facilities for things like medical care. And this litigation started as a medical care issue, and then in terms of addressing the remedy for this massive failure of medical care, the court said, in essence, that you do not meaningfully address the insufficiency of medical care without addressing crowding. So that's the frame that produced this
right.
litigation.
Well, let's put that to Michael Bean here for just a moment. Michael Bean, why is it the case that the redress for lack of medical care, instead of being more medical care, is releasing prisoners, 46,000 of them?
Well, first, the court order will not result in the release of any prisoners. The court order says that the state of California must reduce overcrowding in its prison system over a two-year period. Neither the plaintiffs nor the court contemplated any kind of massive release. And we have demonstrated at trial, based on plans provided by the governor himself that have been submitted to the state legislature, and he was unable to get them through, but the governor himself has proposed plans that will result in the reduction of population over time without the release of prisoners. In other words, there'll be changes in the parole policies, which are very unusual in California, probation reform. To the extent that California wants to incarcerate all these people and can come up with extra billions of dollars, they could build more prisons, they could rent out-of-state prison beds. Both these things are going on now. So that's one. I just want to correct the assumption that there is a massive release plan. There is no such release plan under these court orders.
All right, but then is the argument in court, hey, we're building prisons, we're getting more facilities, this federal court order should not be should not have authority here?
Well, that was at some point in litigation that was the point, but in fact California is not building more prisons, is not building more facilities, and they've given up on that. California is bankrupt and is not moving ahead on these plans, and there is a severe overcrowding problem. You asked originally why not just fix the medical care and not deal with the overcrowding? There's two cases. The mental health case has been going on since 1995. And the remedy has included things like, you know, hire more psychiatrists, get better medication system, build more mental health facilities. And this remedy has failed. In fact, the judge running the mental health case has issued more than 75 orders like that over the course of these 15 years, and they failed. And what the trial was about was...
Failed in the sense that they weren't complied with, or failed in the sense that the material health of the prisoners wasn't improved?
Both.
All right.
In other words, the state is simply unable to keep up with the demands for mental health care, and the same thing happened in the medical care case. They can't do it, and one reason they can't do it, and in fact the only reason they can't do it, is that the facilities are so drastically overcrowded that they've used all available space.
Right.
Riots are breaking out.
Okay, but Michael Bean, let me just put an argument back to the professor here, Franklin Zimring, who's a professor at UC Berkeley. If I'm in a supermax prison and I'm in solitary confinement, do I have the same right to petition for better mental health than someone in an overcrowded state, Franklin Zimring?
In theory, yes. And in practice, that's what makes this litigation both interesting and extremely difficult.
Difficult because?
Because the stakes are enormously high. The court is conservative and extremely cautious in intervention, but the record is a strong one for intervention. So they're going to have to struggle either with their instincts or with the substance of the constitutional rights.
Well, it's going to be a very interesting case. Franklin Zimring, William Simon, Professor of Law, and Wolfen Distinguished Scholar at UC Berkeley. Michael Bean, you want to care to handicap whether they go states' rights or go for the prisoners?
Well, we're quickly. We're cautiously optimistic.
Cautiously optimistic. Michael Bean is a managing partner for Rosen, Bean & Galvin, one of the lead attorneys for the prisoners. Continuing now our conversation that will be before the Supreme Court today, the state of California's prison system overcrowded. A federal court has ordered that it be reduced, that population be reduced over the next 2 years. It's going to be argued before the U.S. Supreme Court. Franklin Zimring, professor of law at UC Berkeley and author, along with Gordon Hawkins, of The Scale of Imprisonment. Franklin, let's just talk about the Supreme Court in this particular case. I Michael Bean, who's going to be there, said a moment ago that he's cautiously optimistic. But I guess I'm wondering, is there a fundamental incompatibility between the politics of a state like California that's really tough on crime, and no candidate is going to be soft on crime and survive really anywhere in the United States, and the issues of justice and maintaining a humane condition for prisoners when you have these kinds of populations?
Well, I'd want to take the term justice out of the equation there. You start with two political realities which are overwhelming. One of them is that the public is willing to spend a great deal of resources on punishing criminals, but the same hostility to crime and criminals that leads to a willingness to spend for security, custody, and punishment makes people unlikely to be terribly encouraged about spending money to make prisoners' lives better, more comfortable, or safer when this comes to medical care. What makes that difficult is that when you lock people up and take total control over their lives, if you don't provide them with medical care, they're at serious risk. So that when you go back to the dollars and cents of this initial conflict about prison health care, in California, they were talking about $8 billion that were spent not for prisons, would have to be spent for prisoner health care. And the same public that wants to spend money for prisons, although California is running out, doesn't want to spend money on improving the lives of prisoners.
So how is the court going to make this
political? Right. That's the political stalemate.
So how's the court going to make the comparison? Are they going to compare the medical health care for prisoners to people in Iowa, you know, who are civilians? Or are they going to compare the prison health care of prisoners in a place like Afghanistan who, hey, they're doing fine. Why should the U.S. prisoners get any more rights than them?
Well, I think that you're taking an extremely conservative court and you're pushing them even further to the right than they would ever go. I don't think Afghanistan is going to play an important role in this morning's discussions. I do think that the issue is this, the more conservative members of the court are not going to talk about medical care standards. They're going to talk about the costs of intervention, and they're going to make procedural arguments about whether you can stretch the medical care findings into things like a prison population-based remedy. It is the people who want to expand the intervention who are going to talk about California's duties and the shortfall. The record in this case is extremely strong, but the task of justifying intervention is a daunting one with
indeed.
This court.
Franklin Zimmering, William Simon, professor of law at UC Berkeley, talking about the California argument on prison overcrowding before the U.S. Supreme Court today.